Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. And joyful greetings from Women's Ministry. Today is International Women's Day of Prayer, and we are very grateful once again that Pastor Geta has provided Women's Ministry with the opportunity to deliver the service today. The International Women's Day of Prayer is the first Sabbath in March, and we continue to promote this day every year because everything we do must be built on the foundation of prayer. It is through prayer that our faith in God grows as we see His answers to our prayers, know that He enables us, guides us, fills us, and comforts us. I grew up with a mom who was a prayer warrior. Some of you may remember her. She was a prayer coordinator for the Alberta Conference many years ago and was always involved in prayer ministry. Growing up, I can distinctly remember her always talking about the power of prayer and that she had solved all her problems on her knees. I remember the story she told us of being 5 years old and hopping into bed one night, forgetting to pray, when a loud voice said to her, "Rita, get up and pray." Today, she's 84 years old. Sadly, dementia has started, but she continues to pray and spread the message that prayer changes things. Let's bow our head as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of prayer, and thank you that you have provided this means so that we can commune with you. Thank you for your promise in Jeremiah 33:3, that all we need to do is to come to you, and you will answer us and show us great and mighty things. Thank you for such love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we live in uncertain times, times of loneliness and fear. And at times we wonder where to turn. How do we find peace and comfort in the midst of uncertainty and confusion? Well, today we would like to point you to the one place where comfort and peace can be found. That place is alone with God in prayer. We must connect to our source of strength, comfort, and peace, and that connection comes when we pray. Wherever you are, if you're feeling empty, lonely, afraid, and hopeless, stop whatever you're doing and seek your Father in prayer. Tell Him how you feel. Ask Him to fill you with strength, courage, joy, and peace of mind. He will answer. He always does. His line never rings busy. Do you remember the game Follow the Leader? The idea was to mimic the antics of the person in front of you in a long line of boys and girls. Being a follower was okay, but being a leader was the most fun. In real life, great leaders are rare. Often men and women are elected or appointed to leadership positions, but then they may falter or fail to act. Others abuse their power to satisfy their egos, crushing their subjects and squandering resources. But without faithful, ethical, and effective leaders, people do stray. For 40 years, Israel had journeyed in a circuit through the wilderness, not because they were following their leader, quite the opposite was true, but with failing faith, they had refused to obey God and to conquer Canaan. So they wandered. Finally, the new generation was ready to cross the Jordan and possess the land, and having distinguished himself as a man of faith and courage, Joshua was chosen as Moses' successor. Now, Joshua was a brilliant military leader and a strong spiritual influence. And the key to his success was his submission to God. When God spoke, Joshua listened and he obeyed. Joshua's obedience served as a model, and as a result, Israel remained faithful to God throughout Joshua's lifetime. But imagine the tension. Moses had passed away. Joshua is now the new leader of Israel, and it is finally time to enter Canaan. But there's a huge problem. The rushing waters of the Jordan River stood formidably between the eastern shore and the fertile rolling hills of Canaan to the west. How was Joshua to get more than 1 million people across the great Jordan River in his flood stage? So what did Joshua do in this crisis of not having transportation to cross the river? Well, he sought God in prayer, and he expected to hear from God. You see, for Joshua, prayer was not a passive recital of his wants. Joshua was accustomed to entering God's presence in prayer as an active listener, fully expecting to hear from God. And in the hour of Joshua's extreme need, God spoke words of encouragement. In Joshua 1:2, it says, "Now, therefore, arise, go over to Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am given to them, the children of Israel. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." When Joshua prayed, he did not know how God was going to make the passage across the Jordan a reality. Nevertheless, in faith, knowing that God would make a way for his people, Joshua began preparing for the crossing by sending two spies from the Israelite camp to the city of Jericho. Now, upon receiving the positive reports from the faithful spies, Joshua instructed the people to sanctify themselves in preparation for the wonder that God would work for them. In other words, their preparation involved confessing their sins to each other and to God. They were to seek God's face individually and corporately, allowing nothing to stand between them and the God who they believe would do great things tomorrow. What a precious time of fellowship, of prayer, confession, and song the Israelites must have had. That evening's prayer meeting was surely characterized with tears of repentance, tears of joy, as the people asked for and received forgiveness from those they had wronged as well as from God. Joshua's life of active prayer and communion with God energized the flagging faith of God's weary people. They expressed their willingness to obey the commands of God. "All that you command us to do, we will do, and where you send us, we will go." The next day, in the morning, directed by God, Joshua commanded the priests to bear the Ark of the Covenant right down to the bank of the river and march into the water. The multitude watched on. When all the feet of the ark-bearing priests touched the waters, the tide of the water on one side suddenly swept back. As the current flowed onward on the other side, the riverbed became dry and bare. The priests advanced solemnly towards the center of the channel and remained there with the ark, while the entire nation of more than 1 million people walked to the western side. Joshua then commanded 12 men representing the tribes to carry a large stone out of the riverbed. Then he commanded the priests bearing the ark to come ashore. The moment their feet touched the other side, when the ark was safely across the river, the wall of water flooded the natural channel of the river. Then the priests, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, Paul tells us, "These things happened to us. These things happened to them as example for us. They are written down to warn us who live in the end of this age." Simply put, the stories of the Bible can provide principles and guidance that can help strengthen us for the very chaotic days in which we are currently living. What principles can we learn about prayer in the last days from this narrative? Well, principle number one, prayer opens the heart of God, which we'll hear from Kara.
Good morning, church. Lately, I've been really, really convicted on the importance of prayer. You see, I found it so easy in my day-to-day life, waking up, spending time with my family, trying to get breakfast in before I run off to school, that prayer can become my last priority, to the shame of me. Because not only does it affect my ministry and my opportunities, but it affects my own heart. May this not be so. The spiritual warfare around us is great. The devil does not want us praying. But we have great opportunity as we open our hearts to prayer and open our communication lines with God. Prayer makes huge impacts with those around us, but even more so in our own hearts. It softens our hearts and molds us to be more like God. You see, in Scripture, prayer was not a duty, a ritual, a task for Joshua. Jesus was his friend, and Joshua regularly conversed with him, opening his heart to God for guidance, for transformation, and for fellowship. What can we learn from Joshua's story? Joshua chose to lean on God's instruction. Joshua 1 verse 7 says, "Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go." He believed the promise that God, through God's strength, he too could be strong, courageous, and faithfully observe his law. He acted on the word of God, and God gave Joshua the peace to trust in him and the strength to move forward. What an example for us. The Bible is bursting with promises of God. He longs for us to grasp those and to use them as a weapon forward for him. We need to believe that they're intended for us, put them in our hearts, and claim them every day. We can pray these promises right back to God's compassionate heart, but instead, so often, we choose to wrestle our own dilemmas. We're wrestling our own dilemmas when we have our mighty God standing right beside us, ready to fight for us. When we finally give that burden over to Jesus, recognizing by faith that he alone is powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, we can triumph over those dark feelings, over those dark moments, over those dark relationships. It is a large victory when we finally allow Jesus to be our Lord, not just Lord over our lives, but also of our thoughts. Now, what are some of God's promises that he gives to us? Let's check out a few. I don't think I would be a teacher if I didn't tell you. Pull out your pen and your notebook, and I want you to write down one of these that you can claim with yourself for the week. Now, if you don't have a notebook, you might have a bulletin. It can come in handy. So I want you to pick one that stands out to you that you can claim all week over yourself as you're praying over the list that Pastor Genna gave you of those people that have yet to meet the Lord and yet to have the joyful relationship. Number one, God's promises never fail. Joshua 21:45. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every single one was fulfilled. We can trust God. God's promises never fail. Number two, God is always good. Psalm 119, verse 68. You are good and you do good. Teach me, O Lord, your statutes. God is always good. Number three, God is always with me. Joshua 1, verse 9. This is my command, says the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you may go, in your workplace, in your home, in your darkest areas of life. God will be with you wherever you go. Number four, God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. Number five, God is kind and compassionate. Are you lacking compassion for yourself? Turn to the Father. Isaiah 54, verse 10. Though the mountains may be shaken and the hills removed, yet my unfailing love or my unfailing kindness for you will not be shaken. My covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion upon you. He will never give up on you. His kindness is ever flowing. Number six, God designed me on purpose and for a purpose. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. He is still going to use you. Doesn't matter your age, your opportunities you see. You give your heart to God and he wants to give you those opportunities. He wants to lead you and lead others to his kingdom through your willing heart. Number seven, God gives me power for my life. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Number eight, God's presence brings joy. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And lastly, number 9, God can be trusted. I'm going to say that again. God can be trusted. We serve a loving God that we can trust. He is looking for our good. And ultimately, our good is us knowing him and us seeking him and us following him with our whole hearts. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted and he keeps his promises. Clearly through Scripture we see God has kept his promises. We have a trustworthy Father. We can put our hope in him. Us spending time praying is a worthy time. It is a worthy cause. It connects our hearts with the great Creator, with the one who loves us no matter what we've done, no matter who we are. He loves us. In claiming these promises, we are reminded that God can be trusted. It brings us back into communication with God. It puts our eyes to the face of God, of which so often we stray, as our eyes can simply turn back to this world. Having a young daughter, my little Abigail's in the back there, I'm realizing how important communication is. I can't just think, oh, she'll be fine, I'll run past. She needs communication, as do Pastor Seth and myself. We need to be communicating about her and with her. I'm sure many of you can relate. We are so blessed to have her. We thank God daily. She's a wonderful child who's one of the most caring people I've ever met. She looks out for others and is always willing to offer a Band-Aid and some love. Her relationship with Jesus is inspiring and completely trusting. You ask her, Abigail, where does Jesus live? In my heart. Amen. She has shown me on so many accounts how tender and delicate her heart is and how tender communication is necessary. There have been times where I've been distracted on my phone after a long day. She rushes over to see what I'm doing, wants to join with me, be with me. At times I've been so engulfed in writing a message that she will repeat herself and I will miss what she says. One time Abigail announced, Mommy, are you listening? Can you hear me? Can you hear my voice? How often is this happening with God? Kara, are you listening? Do you even care to hear my voice? Do you desire to be in my presence? Do you know the blessing of being in relationship with me? God is always here. He wants us to listen. He wants us to turn our affection towards him. You see, God desires intimacy and connection as it transforms our hearts. When I finally stop, set my distractions aside, I enter into an opportunity to connect and communicate that I would not have had if I hadn't set down my phone. I enter into the joy of relationship, the hope of connection, and the peace of togetherness. We need to pray and develop a relationship with God. Communication is vital in any relationship, and especially in our relationship with God, the God of heaven and earth. Yes, he knows what we're thinking, but he longs for us to tell him directly what we are feeling. Have you ever felt saddened by a lack of communication in a close relationship? It can be hurtful. Since men and women are created in God's image, it also hurts the heart of God when we neglect to talk with him, when we are reluctant to believe his promises are for us. Did you know that God asks us to discuss everything about our lives with him? The psalmist describes it like this in Psalm 27, verse 8. My heart has heard you say, come and talk to me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Think of Jesus as the connecting link between yourself and God the Father. Imagine Jesus hugging you with one arm while he grasps the throne of the infinite one with his other arm. What an infinite, intimate, comforting picture of Christ responding as we pray. You might not immediately see outward evidence of the answer to your prayer, but you can be assured that what God has promised will be realized when you most need it. When you come to him in prayer, he will solve your challenges at just the right time and in just the right way for your best good. Again, God is trustworthy. Those who truly commune with God and hear his voice, won't just rush through a routine prayer with one hand on the doorknob in their busy lives, but instead they take time to be in his presence, to refresh and to restore. Our world today faces unprecedented challenges. We see it all around, and we pray for our friends in the Ukraine. An old hymn began, "If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now." Polarization and divisions face our families, our church families, our nations. Heartbreak surrounds us. Painful events impact the way we do ministry, the way that we witness and evangelize. Yet when we seek God, he will help us know what to do in our time of calamity, distress, and conflicting claims. How do we hear what the Spirit says to the churches? We will seek out his will and wisdom through prayer, unhurried, undistracted, prevailing prayer. Paul reminds us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Kelly will come share principle 2 with us.
Thank you, Kara. I'm not a teacher, so principle number 2, prayer leads to confession and submission. Does anybody else out there have a hard time submitting?
No.
Okay. By some laughter, I guess I'm not the only one. I guess we need more prayer. Part of the preparation for the outpouring of God's power in Jericho and God's Spirit at Pentecost included repentance, confession, and submission to each other as well as to God. We can also ask God that he himself will search us and show us if there's anything offensive to him in our thinking and in our acting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Have we prayed that lately or ever? We can pray in intercession for our family, our church family, our government, but perhaps the most important prayer we can bring before God is for the special outpouring of his Spirit that we refer to as the latter rain in our days. And Prophet Hosea described this in chapter 6 and verse 3. He said, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." You see, Hosea used the agrarian example of rain to illustrate the work of the Holy Spirit. As the dew and the rain causes the seeds to germinate, so the rain helps prepare the crops for harvest. At no point in time in our Christian experience we can dispense with the help of the Holy Spirit. But the help of the Spirit is so necessary because only through it would God's grace work be complete in us. And if we really want to reflect Christ's character, one that submitted quietly, then we must need the Holy Spirit in our lives today. We could compare the early rain with the experience the apostles had in the day of Pentecost. Those men and women prayed together in the upper room, and as a result, tongues of fire descended upon them from heaven, empowering them to bring the good news of the gospel to the far ends of the world, of the then known world. Oh, that we would have that today. You see, that event was preceded by a lot and lot of prayer. Luke tells us that immediately upon Christ's ascension, the disciples were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And 50 days after the ascension, they were all with one accord in one place. Today, as we eagerly await for that outpouring in latter rain power, we too need to be putting all our differences aside and desires for first place. As Pastor Ghana prayed, we need to be one beyond nationalities, age, education. Once we get together as one in prayer and love, we are going to see way mightier things than happen on Pentecost. Because that special outpouring of the Holy Spirit will not only help us to take the message, to finish our task, but it will also strengthen us. We have troubling times ahead, more than what we may perceive today. And it will only be through the Holy Spirit that we'll be strengthened to endure. And those who endure till the end will be saved. May God bless us. And I'll invite Jennifer to share with us principle number 3.
Thank you, Kelly, and happy Sabbath, everyone. Principle number 3 is prayer builds remembrance. I don't know about you, it seems so easy to remember all the blessings and promises of God when things are going well, but not so much when the trials and tribulations hit. After the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, with the priests yet remaining in the middle of the parted river, the vast congregation of people watched the 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, carry a large stone from the riverbed to the shore. The 12 stones were set up as a monument to commemorate God's astounding miracle. Parents are instructed to repeat to their children and their grandchildren the amazing story of the mighty work God performed for his people. Every time that story is repeated, the faith of the children as well as their parents will be strengthened. In Joshua chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it states, "This will be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And those stones shall be a monument and a memorial to the children of Israel forever." It is very important to remember how God has led us. How will it affect your life if you take a reflective hour or two to begin building your own altar of remembrance? What if you write down 12 times when the Lord has done great things for you and share those with your family and friends? As with the people of Israel, we can set up our own stones of witness, remembrance, in our minds, and inscribe upon our hearts those precious stories of what God has done on our behalf. As we review his dealings with us in our own pilgrim journey, we can declare out of hearts melted with gratitude, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" Psalm 116, verse 12. The trials of this life will test our faith, sometimes severely. On those days when we're overwhelmed with challenges and obstacles, heartaches, and even tragedies, we can look back on those memorials that we've built in memory of God's faithfulness to us. In our minds, we can repeat to ourselves how God has led us thus far and praise him for each stone. Let those stones in our memories hall remind us that God has saved our lives for eternity. Because he has been faithful to our promises in this life, or to his promises in this life, we can be utterly sure he will keep his promise to come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. John 14:3. And now I'll have Gail tell us about principle number 4. Happy Sabbath.
So principle number 4 is prayer allows God to reveal his plans. So the story of Joshua's leadership after the crossing of the Jordan River continues to teach us about prayer. The Israelites entered Canaan on dry ground through the parted waters of the river, but they had not yet conquered it. They knew very little about warfare. In contrast, Canaan was inhabited by powerful warriors who knew their country very well and were eager to defend it with all their might. Deuteronomy 9:1 states that the Canaanite cities were great and were fenced up to heaven. The formidable fortresses were meant to intimidate any intruder. The various Canaanite tribes united in a common purpose, which was to defeat the Hebrews, who clearly intended to gain possession of their land. Joshua needed help, and he knew exactly where to find it. Leaving the encampment, where do you think he went? He went to the Lord in prayer. Suddenly, a mighty warrior, tall, armed, commanding in demeanor, appeared before Joshua. Startled, Joshua challenged, "Are you for us or against us?" Surprisingly, the warrior, who turns out to be the Lord himself, doesn't identify against either group, but puts himself above all inhabitants of the earth and simply states, "I am commander of the Lord's army." The Lord reminded Joshua, as he had done years before with Moses, that the ground on which Joshua stands is now holy. Awestruck, Joshua fell on his face and worshipped. Joshua did not come to the Lord with a plan for the capture of Jericho. He did not request approval with a rubber stamp. He simply wanted to know the will of God. At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" How often do we come before the Lord with a preconceived plan, a shopping list of requests or ideas of how to accomplish a mission that we're hoping God will place his stamp of approval on? To fall face down before God in total reverence and submission to anything he might command is rare. But the story becomes even more unusual. God outlined a mind-boggling strategy for a human. Joshua and all his fighting men were directed to march silently around the town of Jericho once a day for 6 days. And after each singular march, the soldiers were simply to return to the camp. As Joshua continues listening to the Lord, the instructions for day 7 must have sounded even more bizarre. "March around the town 7 times, each man blowing a ram's horn. When you hear the priest, give one long blast on the ram's horn. Have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town." How might you have responded to those directions? Would you have muttered, "That sounds like a bit of a recipe for mockery. I'll never convince my men to do such a thing." But the Bible tells us exactly just how Joshua responded. And Joshua did as he was told. The outcome, of course, was exactly as God predicted. The walls of Jericho fell, the men of Israel charged into the city and annihilated its inhabitants. The word of the Lord came to pass. Joshua's faith and obedience were rewarded. Church, this is how our prayers must be in the uncertainty and challenges of the last days of human history. We must have a deep and living experience with God that will enable us to hear and recognize his voice and carry out his commands, no matter how unexpected those directives are to our usual way of problem solving. Prayer is heaven's plan for success. Our heartfelt prayers of need and faith move God into action. Let's learn how to pray. Let's pray much more than we have prayed in the past. Let's expect great things from our God of compassion and mercy. Let's pray in faith and leave the results to God. Today I'm making this prayer mine, and I would also like to challenge you to make it yours. It's a prayer of commitment, or even a prayer of recommitment. And it says, "Lord, I want to love you and serve you and give you my life, and I want to do it with all my heart. In this quiet place with you, I bow before your throne. I bear the deepest part of me to you and you alone. I keep no secrets, for there is no thought you have not known. I bring my best and all the rest to to you and lay them down. With all my heart, I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know you more. All that is me is yours completely. I'll serve you only with all my heart. You faithfully supply my needs according to your plan. So help me, Lord, to seek your face before I seek your hand. And trust you know what's best for me when I don't understand. Then follow in obedience in every circumstance. Soon and very soon, our prayers to a God that we only see through the eyes of faith will in no time become praise to a God we will soon see face to face. Again, happy Sabbath, Church, and happy International Women's Day of Prayer. Mm-hmm.